December 26, 2017.
It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro show, probably the last one for this year. And Pedro, but Brother Matt is on a boat, I think going to maybe the Caribbean. I can't remember where he's headed. I forgot all about him telling me about that. But I'm not completely alone because through the magic of those engineers in Estonia via Skype, we got Dave Travis. Hey Dave, welcome aboard.
Hi. Thanks for having me aboard.
Yeah. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Mount Washington, Northeast LA.
Yeah, Mount Washington Park. People, if you're downtown, it's kind of a little bit north, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of hills. That's why it's called Heights. Washington Heights. Great. Kind of hard to get my boat around some of those roads. A little tight. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing Joy, the second version, and then Anarchy 6 from Babylon Rules from Anarchy 6, sorry. Anarchy 6 was the band for that movie, right?
Yeah, it was originally came out of the Love Dolls Superstar movie.
Right, right.
And then they made a record. The band itself was basically Sin 34, Dave Markey, Phil Newman, and Mike Glass, but with Steve McDonald singing.
Right, right. And then became a real band. Sort of like the Monkees.
Yeah, they did a few shows.
Right, I remember. I think Anti-Club.
Yeah, Anti-Club and
well,
Music Machine.
Well, let's go with you, Dave. You're a earliest musical memory.
Probably growing up in my house, listening to music. Like, my parents played instruments.
Oh, really?
And then we had, like, the record collection, so I used to just, like, pick out records to listen to. A lot of it, you know, was the ones that, when I was a little kid, like, ones that had tribute covers, like Bitches Brew or Sgt. Pepper's.
But the people playing, who played what?
My mom played auto harp and sitar, and then my dad played guitar and bass.
Great. So they would have jams?
My mom was in a band before I was born called Sunset Off Ramp, and then then my dad sometimes would jam with his friends from work, but little family jam sometimes, but not that much.
Is this the pad that me and Raymond went to on the west side?
Originally, we lived in Hollywood. We moved to West LA in 1980.
Okay, because I remember when me and Raymond came over for that party?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly where that was, but it was somewhere on the west side.
Okay.
So, can you remember the first record you bought yourself, for you?
First record I bought myself was probably the Ticket to Ride single.
Beatles?
By the Beatles,
yeah.
And then also the King Tut single by Steve Martin.
Oh, right. That was a big hit.
Yeah. And then we used to listen to radio a lot in the car, too, so I got a lot of music education from the radio. My dad listened to KIC a lot, which was like a kind of country station.
Uh-huh.
They played a lot like Buck Owens, Pearl Haggard, Johnny Cash kind of stuff. And then my mom listened to KHJ, which, like AM Top 40, early 70s.
Yeah, but it was, much different than the AM radio now.
Yeah.
93 KHJ was huge. And KLAC was huge. I think they were kind of tied in with Channel 5, too.
Maybe, because we used to watch Hee Haw a lot, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And well, Buck Owens, huge on that. Roy Clark.
Yeah, Buck Owens and Roy Clark.
Yeah, Roy Clark. Okay, what about at school? Did you take music in school?
Yeah, when I went to, like in sixth grade, they had like a music class, and then I was in like the like orchestra a little bit in the,
is that
when I was still living. Hello?
Is that the cello?
No, it was actually for percussion.
Okay.
And then that was before I moved to the west side, and after that, I didn't really do music in school, but I took some music lessons from like a neighborhood guitar store, and then just started kind of jamming out with friends.
What, like garage, bedroom jams?
Yeah.
Okay, what about songwriting? Did you do any of that early? Or mainly like trying to copy songs off records like me and D. Boone?
Probably more just jamming. I learned playing like the guitar. Yeah, like we had like the music books, so I just learned to like play guitar to the music books.
Yeah, like Mel Bay, Alfred's guitar.
Mel Bay are just like the Beatles music book or stuff like that, but not to play in front of people, but just trying to figure it out.
Right. And do you remember, what about, but no songwriting really?
No, I mean, the first real band I was in, I was in a band in like junior high school and then 10th grade where we were doing covers.
Where did they come?
It was like almost each show was like a different name, but usually the Gars, I guess, because the main guy was named Garfield Wolf.
Okay.
And
what
then,
were the gigs like?
Like house parties.
Yeah. Playing at people's pads, living room gigs.
Yeah. And then after that,
can you remember your very first one?
It was like a house party. I was probably end of ninth grade, beginning of 10th grade. The band was with Garfield Wolf, Roger Barney, and Leonard Matsumoto, and that was and myself, and that was the Gars.
And then, was it scary?
a little bit, which is kind of exciting too.
Yeah, sure.
And then after that, I got in a band with Dave Jones, who still plays in Carnage Asada.
Right.
And a guy named Jeff Spindler, and then we had a band called Permanent Trails. And then we played parties, and then we actually played the cafe, too.
Cafe de Grand.
Yeah.
That's in Hollywood, people near the Palladium, and there was a pretty big scene around there.
Yeah, but they used to have Dollar Punk Tuesdays, so
that's right.
Our first,
that's right.
That was our first show.
I think Don Bowles was the sound man.
Yeah.
It was an old Chinese restaurant, and we played downstairs. Yeah, I think it became the China Club later on with, like, big rock stars jamming, right? So what about recording? Did the Gars ever record?
No.
Okay.
And then that maybe did, like, 3 or 4 parties, and that's as much as that lasted. It was mainly just practicing and jamming. Permanent Trails played more, but we never recorded. And then the first thing I was ever on a recording for was that Anarchy 6 you just played, because I do like half the vocals on that one song.
I'm going to play here something that you pick, Jack Brewer. Yeah, I think Jack Brewer covering a Saccharine Trust song, right, called Christmas Cry.
Yeah.
Because the original version was
on
Chunks. New Alliance compilation. Let's listen.
Weaponized. 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 was a nuclear spill in the alleyway. How are you? You've got special powers. How are you?
How are you?
James Bond, who is he? How are you? Grenades were designed to throw like baseballs. How are you?
How are you?
Possums playing possums, you're awesome. How are you?
Hey,
honeybee in the elevator. And how are you?
Who are you?
North Korea has a mythical flying horse. And how are you?
Clowns, saints and clowns. Go!
For Pedro show, you just heard not Black Sabbath, but Frosty the Snowman from Santa Sabbath, which is Bob Lee not on drums, but as a singer. And then before that, Stale Jets with White Satan, Good Intentions, Mind the Revolutionary, Hell Yeah. Ahead of that, got to play with them on my D-Day up in the city. That was wild. That was a good time. Yeah, 418 miles each way, but it was worth it. Get to spend time with my second man, Tom Watson, joined us, so it was a weird kind of quartet. And the people in the city were very kind to us. Maya and her band was bitching. Before that, we got Spot doing Sean's brother. Spot is back in Sheboygan, where it's nice and cold. Pile ahead of that, on the west side of England, Baby Boy. Guided by Voices, We Liken the Sun. M.B. Jones out of Pusan, ahead of that with a demo of Weaponized Charm. It started all off with A Christmas Crab, a Jack Burr. And Dave Travis here has something to say about that because it's one of the first things he engineered.
Yeah, I went to John Vogel and myself. We did a recorded a spoken word record with Robert Kubernick and...
John Golden Peele is a great engineer for mastering that I've worked with since early 80s. I go way back with John Golden.
Not John Golden, John Vogel.
Oh, John Vogel. Yeah, I remember John Vogel. Oh, okay. Because I was just thinking of John Golden because he lives out in Ventura. And
yeah, it was John Vogel.
No,
who
what
used
I'm
to live in Peter.
Yeah, I understand. But what I'm thinking of, I hope John Golden didn't get hurt with that fire.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Okay, John Vogel, back to your story.
But Walter Spencer did the mastering for that.
Yeah, okay. And he's good too.
So it was a live, we did like a live poetry record where everything was on location. So that, we recorded him doing A Christmas Cry at the Hollywood Christmas Parade with like the parade and Santa going by in the background.
Jack Brewer competing with the crowd.
And then so we had like a lavalier mic on him and then a boom mic, and he's just doing his poetry in the middle of the parade.
Right. Like we said, it was a kind of a sacrament to
reinterpret. Yeah, it was originally a sacrament trust song.
And so, did you go to school for engineering?
Yeah, I minored in music recording at USC.
And your major is what, like journalism?
Geography.
Geography, that's it.
Yeah.
And
But it was like, I was like from the first year where they had the music recording.
I was going to ask you, what kind of, like, did they have a setup and stuff?
Yeah, they had a good setup because they would get stuff
donated,
like hand-me-downs from A&M.
Oh, wow.
So we had like a really good SSL 24-channel board, like a Mitsubishi, two-inch 24-track recorder, and it was good because it was you take music engineering classes plus like electronics classes and music classes too. Like I took a really good class from Roberto Miranda in the Afro Latin profession.
What are you talking, history of music or like theory?
Like
of music?
There's the music history, but also just like Afro Latin percussion, like just kind of like all the different beats for the different countries. Like, you know, this is Cuba, like have like this kind of music with
okay,
this kind
so
of beats.
Okay, so like the musicology like, thing. Yeah.
And you just learn the basic beats on like the drums and hand percussion. You know, not to be like a great musician, but just to understand like the. The kind of basic music theory of that, those genres of music. And then there was another class called World Music and Cultures where it was just one week you'd study like the music of like Africa, then like Indonesia, then Japan, then China. And that was really interesting too.
Yeah, kind of like expand your vocabulary.
Yeah, because I didn't know much about non-Western music before that point.
Yeah, right. And then you're saying there's good teachers. That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Were you involved with the... What was Dave Markey, his bass band studio?
Phil Newman.
Yeah, Phil.
And the studio was Spinhead Studios.
Spinhead, that's it. In the Valley, right?
Yeah, in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or
you ever involved
yeah,
with
North Hollywood.
Were you ever involved with that?
Yeah, I used to hang out there. That's where we did that Anarchy 6 record.
Yeah.
I never really worked there, but when I was going to school, I would hang out there and just watch him work to kind of, learn how things work.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, what could be more valuable than that?
But I learned a lot. Yeah, I worked for my dad, was a cameraman.
Yeah,
so
right. I was
going to
ask you this. Your pop was involved with television production, right?
Yeah. So, like, I worked for him starting on industrial films and stuff when I was still in high school. And then when I was 18, I was able to join the union. And then I started working for CBS and places like that doing ENG sound. So I learned most of my sound doing that.
Okay. And that was mainly like kind of location stuff, right?
Yeah.
Portable recorder.
Back then it was before camcorders, so...
Oh, the recorder was inside the camera.
Yeah, they didn't have that back then. They would record originally the 3/4-inch video. So they need someone, and like the 3/4-inch decks to them were like 40 pounds.
Wow.
So they need a separate person to follow the camera holding a cable with one hand... and like a mic with the other hand to do boom so that the camera could record the video while it was moving.
Right, right. Quite a schlep.
Yeah.
Things are much easier now, right? Stuff's smaller.
Yeah, then switch from 3/4-inch to Betacam, and then after that, the
digital.
They start recording the video on the camera itself, so then I just had to do the sound.
Yeah. You know what I forgot to ask you? What was the first concert you went?
The first concert itself I went to
was
when I was in second grade, like during the bicentennial. Like our class in my elementary school sold the most like chocolate bars or something. So we went on a trip to like the LAUSD bicentennial celebration, which was at the LA Coliseum. And then that was with Casey and the Sunshine Band and Evil Knievel. But then the first real concert I went to, I guess what was my first punk show was X with Ray Manzarek at the Whiskey, which was on my first day of high school.
Oh, wow. Their album must have just come out.
It was during Under the Big Black Sun.
Oh, third album. Okay. Yeah, right. He produced the first four albums. I just did a couple of gigs with X. 40 years.
Mm-hmm. And then I heard punk, but I never seen it or anything. But it was more just kind of like a stoner kind of person. And then, it was really cool to see like Ray Manzarek come out.
Yeah, you probably knew of the Doors, right?
Yeah. I mean, I heard of X, but like, I had like a bunch of Doors records already.
Okay. And like you said, you're very young, right? It's the first
hit. Yeah, that was like, I was 14.
Yeah.
And then after that, like about a month later, I saw like the Who and the Clash played at the Coliseum.
Wow. Big gig. Oh, yeah. Well, that was Arena Rock days. There was a lot of big gigs.
Yeah. So that was with the Clash opening up for the Who, and then there was like a slam pit on the floor of the Coliseum.
For the Clash or the Who?
For the Clash.
Okay.
And then after that, with like the Ramones and the Dickies at the play. But after I went to that X show, then I just tried to start going to whatever kind of punk shows I can get to. So a lot of parties with bands like Armed Response or Neighborhood Watch. And then, we'd take the bus to Hollywood, or if I can get a ride, so we'd go see shows that we went to the Vex. And saw like Black Flag and St. Vitus.
Actually, there ended up being like three or four Vexes.
Yeah, I think this was one of the last Vexes. This was the one on I think it was on the Han Solo.
Okay.
We used to have Federal Building shows, so we'd see like Black Flag at the Federal Building.
I remember doing a gig there, Rock Against Racism.
Yeah.
There's some pictures in the middle of Double Nickels on the Deck. We've come to the end of the first hour, December 26, 2017, edition of Watford Pedro Show, special guest Dave Travis. Hold tight for hour two. December 26, 2017, it's the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Why do people send me large and extra large t-shirts? What happened to medium and small t-shirts? Why do girls have spikes on their tongue? Marsha Brady never had one. She's Godhead. I hate the 90s. What happened to tube tops? No girl I know can pass the pencil test. Tattoos, body piercing, the whole world has lost its head. Lost its head! Tattoo removal is the new way. Let's open up tattoo removal parlors across the land. I hate the 90s! Brian Wilson speaks for Dennis. Tattoos and body piercing is the new menace. S&M doesn't stand for Sonic Youth or the Monkees. All the cute girls in the 90s are all junkies. I hate the 90s. The only good thing was the fall of the Berlin Wall and Star 69. Why the internet? With a great new invention called the telephone. Hello? Join Rodney's army. I can't do it alone. Spread my message all over the phone. I hate the 90s. Everyone's clueless about the 90s. You go into clubs. You can't stand here. You can't stand there. Let alone being body searched. I don't want no man to touch my body. I hate the 90s. Stars of news getting more than 15 minutes of fame. Sally, Jesse, Geraldo, and Donahue through the hard copy of television. They make young girls cry. They do. I hate the 90s. I'd rather look at Kate Moss's mole than a piercing with a hole. We owe all this to Artella. He started butchering hair back in the 80s. I hate perms. Marcia Clark then, Marcia Clark now. Case closed. I hate the 90s. I hate the 90s. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hate the 90s! You know, it really sucks. It really does. I hate the 90s. Man! Man! I hate the 90s! Get me to the year 2001! I hate the 90s!
This is Kingdom by Brian Lee.
I am riding baby in the mud. No.
Now,
got somebody on the road, but no.
You are becoming part of the new destiny.
feels like a hive to a hornet. Drug dealers will flaunt it, rich people don't want it. But it would appear to me that they will beef up security, but they thrive off of it, they talk about it socially. We're like some disease attached to drugs like fat to arteries. We're next in line for a genocide slaughtering. They keep the boats chartering, doctors sure, cause they're not sure what the fuck they brought us here for. You're probably in the next life. Fuck that, there ain't one. Brothers got taken out trying to create one. It's the same one to bring guns, who made trust funds and who hung loved ones in the southern sun. In this world, we're like a six-toed trapped in a chute with no room to move and no oxygen holes. But I was always told to stay bold in the world so cold as the purple rain runs through my toes. Then I strike the pose in America's clothes, so it's America's dream. Nobody knows.
Listen to my melody.
Nobody knows.
Pull me like gravity.
Beaver show started off the second hour with I Hate the 90s by Rodney and the Tube Tops. Ricardo Tierro, Colin Webster, Marco Serrato, and Borja Díaz with Miladero. They're out of Sevilla. Ty and Elisa, Life Flights, Tawakwa Sparks, Birds of Paradise, Mold Omen with Alms, and finally, The Questions with Melodies. What's The Questions?
The Questions was another band that that was with Dave Jones and Dave Green. And then my sister and I had a recording studio in Hollywood, like in our garage. She still has it, actually. And that was the last thing.
What period are we talking about, Dave?
Say again?
Time period.
This was the... We built it after the earthquake kind of destroyed the garage that was originally there.
Yeah.
So we had the studio probably starting on 1996.
Okay.
And then I was doing stuff there till 2000. And then she still has it.
And The Questions was recorded at this pad.
Yeah, in 2000. And that was with Dave Jones. He's in Carnage Asada. He also plays with Alice Bag and... And then also that's with Dave Green, who went on to Los Abandon.
Yeah. So how long has this been? I don't remember seeing
The Questions.
Yeah.
They probably lasted like a year, but it was a good band to record.
Okay. And this band we played at the beginning of the hour, Rodney and the...
Two Tops.
That
was the kind of like a Bill Bartell kind of project where he like get a bunch of people together to get a record together.
Bill Bartell was a guy had a band called White Flag. He was a great cat. We lost him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and he had a record label called Gasatanka.
Right.
And he would always kind of he was kind of like a dreamer kind of guy. He would always dream stuff up and make it happen. So this was with Ronnie Bingenheimer doing the singing, and Bill playing bass, Dave Markey on drums, and then Thurston Moore and Eric Erlandson on guitars.
Yeah.
And then there's a B-side, too, which was Thurston the Two Tops, was Thurston Moore doing the vocals.
Yeah, where was it recorded?
At Tarantula Ranch, at the studio that my sister and I had in Hollywood.
It was the same pad the Questions was recorded, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I think I've been there.
Probably, yeah.
I think I did a jam. Yeah, I think I did a, not recording, but a jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was sometime in the late 90s, I think. Around that time. We're going to play something here called Cello Pudding. Tell us about that.
Cello Pudding was a project put together by Jeff Schwartz, who's the bass player, and he wanted to have a band with, like, all cellos and stand-up bass. So we played a couple shows and made a record and kind of tried to do, like, kind of Pendrecki kind of stuff. He plays bass for the Santa Monica Symphony, and then the other two cello players were from, like, the L.A. Free Music Society, and then Vetso was in Fat and Fucked Up.
Yeah.
So just kind of like a, try to do like a kind of noise band, but with all acoustic instruments.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, you're talking about percussion and guitar, and when did you get into the cello?
Cello was from, I was in a band called Halfway to Cleveland, and that band I was originally playing bass. I joined that band in 1988, and then the main guy of the band was a guy named Doc Williams. And then at the end of that band, he got sick. He got lymphoma. He played woodwinds, and also he played cello. And then I bought the cello off him, and then he taught me a little bit before he passed. And I got into cello from that. And then originally in Carnage Asada, I played bass and then guitar. And they started experimenting playing cello in that. And then the people in Waco saw me play, and then they got me to play in Waco. And then I learned cello more seriously from playing Waco, because Steve would always have, like, the charts for us to play. And so I had to learn to play cello music from the charts to play his music, yeah.
Okay. Well,
he was amazing because, you know, he'd have like two or three new songs every week, writing out by hand like nine parts. So he like read like a huge amount of music.
Oh, wow! But he wasn't involved with his cello pudding.
No, he wasn't involved. Cello pudding is improvised.
Right.
And it's a bass guy. Which is the all the
main
child
of Steve
Agaropoulos. What?
What's the bass man's name?
In cello pudding, it's Jeff Schwartz.
Jeff Schwartz, yeah, it's kind of his proj, right? Yeah, okay.
It was his concept, and then it just kind of, I guess, it's all four of our projects.
Okay, and then what? He saw you with the Waco guys.
Jeff? No, he saw me in Carnage Asada.
Carnage, okay. Okay, well, let's listen. I'm just trying to get straight in my mind. Let's go. Let's just cello pudding. Thank you.
One, two, three, four.
A short, disgusting man was shuffling slowly down the street, which was filled with many odors, yeah, and one of them was beef. He crept inside his nose, and then it punched him in the brain. The burger craving hit him like a train.
I want the tallest hamburger that money can buy. I want to see the sausage pile up in the sky. Cover it in ketchup with the helicopter hose. Ask me for a bite, and I'll say no.
With a couple dozen phone calls and a big hot air balloon, he started the construction on the very afternoon. To the 57 workers who were panning, dripping sweat, he shouted just in case they'd not forget.
I want the tallest hamburger that the world's ever seen. Buns the size of us, a sense of beef in between. Cover it with mayo with a helicopter hose. Ask me for a bite and I'll say no.
Authorities have been notified.
The burger toppled over near the end of hour three. The city streets were covered with the melted cheddar cheese when a falling piece of burger struck the man outside the head. He whispered with his fragile dying breath, "That was the tallest hamburger that I saw in my life. If only I could share it with a child and a wife. But I guess now since I'm dying I can give it to the town. So take it, there's enough to go around."
It was the tallest hamburger that money could buy. Even though it all fell over, it could feed you a night. So heated with some french fries, so big and it rings. Join the burger bash with us to sing. It was the tallest hamburger that money could buy. Even though it all fell over, it could feed you a night. So heated with some french fries, so big and it rings. Join the burger bash with us to sing. It was the tallest hamburger that money could buy. Even though it all fell over, it could feed you a night. So heated with some french fries, so big and it rings. Join the burger bash.
We are good people, we are good people, we are good people. We wouldn't let this happen. We are good people, we are good people, we are good people. We wouldn't let this happen. We are good people, we are good people, we are good people. We wouldn't let this happen. We are good people, we are good people, we are good.
曾经的理想，忘了吧孤单的时光，来吧我们在你身旁。是否还记得那故乡，记得那欢乐的时光，是否还记得那姑娘，来吧我们在你身旁。啦啦啦
身旁。 闹的男孩，统治这个世界。
For Beaver Show. Yeah, we started out that chunk of music off with Fantastic, jello pudding. Then the breakfast cowboy with the tallest hammer. Ted came with part two of Concerto Number 2. Wood Wheat, the Emperor's of Ice Cream out of Brighton, had him on the show a couple weeks ago. Out of Greece, the Fofiko Band, politically correct. Then there's a bunch of stuff from China. I was to China for the first time last March. And I had Pumpkins with Asshole, Booyah with By Your Side, PK-14, part 2 of 1984, Street Kill Strange Animals with MCD Kids, I'm Not a Man from the Top Floor Circus, and finally Round Eye with PMS 2.5. Round Eye, I think, are going to do a U.S. West Coast tour in March or February. Yeah, it's February, I'm sorry. And they're a lot of white guys, so in a way it's them coming home. That means foreigners. Andrew. Dave Travis, my guest. How did Carnage get started?
Carnage got started, I told you about that band Halfway to Cleveland I was in. The drummer and I...
We're
going to
hear that a little later.
The original the drummer of that band was Pat Palma. And we tried to do like our own kind of side thing, which we wanted to do kind of like improvised heavy metal music. And so that was the original Carnage Asada in like about 1988. We just played in his garage and then just did that a few times, then just kept on doing the Halfway to Cleveland. Then after
so
the
you're
Halfway
saying
to
Cleveland. Carnage was kind of a spin off of Halfway to Cleveland.
That was the first original, like, which is me and Pat, that's where the name came from.
Yeah.
And then Dave Jones and Pat had a band called, and a guy named Jesse Engel had a band called Pipsqueak. And then I played on their last show with Pipsqueak at Raji's. And then
Raji's, by the way, got destroyed by that earthquake you were talking about.
And then we kind of merged the Pipsqueak into Carnage Asada. So the original Carnage Asada was with Dave Jones, Pat Palma, Jesse Engel, and myself. And then we got George Murillo, who went to high school with Dave Jones and I, to sing. And then we played two shows, and then Jesse and Pat quit, and then we got... Yeah, we played like a show with just me on guitar, Dave Jones on bass, and George singing. And then we added Steve Reed on bass and Dave Markey on drums.
Well, there was a buttload of incarnations, I know.
Yeah.
And we're then, at the end of the second hour, December 26, 2017. Special guest Dave Travis. Hold tight for hour three. December 26, 2017. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Still standing, it's so- into that light and we'll learn to ride the ride and we'll fall and know that.
Thank you. Now they got me on the run. Helicopters over my head. And the police dogs are on my trail. I'm jumping in fences. Jumping over trash pails. Running through the bushes. I'm running through the alleys. And hiding under cars. I'd be better off dead. Dead or alive. Dead or alive. You know they got me on the run. $50,000 bail. I'm a wanted man. I'm on the run. Fly off the roll. The judge told the district attorney they want that motherfucker dead or alive. Es una pinche vida loca. Ay, qué linda mamacita. Dead or alive. Dead or me on the run. The police dogs on my trail. Jumping over fences. Trying my best to keep my ass out of jail. Agüitas, mija. Ponle calmado. Necesito ir a la curandera para quitar todos los demonios. Todas las sucias, todas las porquerías. Dead or alive. Dead or alive. Dead or alive. Dead or alive. En paz descanse el señor Frank Zappa, el Robin en los Jets, the Moody for Goodies, and all that boogie woogie East LA shit, the living shit. The Moody for Goodies. They want my ass dead. Or take them alive. Lock them up and throw away the fucking key. Dead or alive. Dead or alive. Carver. Hello, pinche. Hey, there, los huevos. Recuerda cantar bien alto, porque sí. No mames, güey. Cálmate.
tranquilito.
Lot for Pedro show. Started the third hour off with Dave Travis and Sister Abby Travis doing Free Wheel. Great bass player and singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to have her on the show because her musical journey pretty intense. She's been playing bass a long time, right?
Yeah. She started with Love Dolls when she was 15.
15. Wow. And played with so many people in so many situations. She can learn music so quick.
Yeah. She's really great.
Yeah.
That first show she did was like a Casey party in Malibu. Like they played with
Casey, you mean Raji's?
Yeah, Casey from Raji's, yeah. So it was like a party they did with, it was like with Black Flag, Alley Cats, and DC3.
Was that under the pads? Like,
yeah.
Right. It was like under a house on the cliff with the stilts.
Yeah.
It was so scary. I remember that right off PCH. And that was her first, wow.
And she was like 15 when she did that, right, and she went on from there.
After that, we had On Dolphin with Together, Nano Face with Drugstore, Nick Fit, Janitor, and finally Carnage Asada with Dead or Alive. And we heard the story of Carnage Asada. I mean, I've seen Carnage's versions of the band where there's a couple cellos, a couple basses.
Yeah, no, in the 90s, it would just get big. Yeah, we added Dave Markey and Steve Reed. Then we added Chris Stein.
Right.
And then we just keep on getting more and more people. Sometimes we have Mario Lawley or Joe Biza or Gary Arce. And then just got really kind of, you know, big and harder to manage. So that kind of dissipated around like 2000. And then we went back as like a smaller band in 2003 as George Murillo's Axis of Evil. And then we came back for real as in 2008 as a Carnage Asada with just six people, just George Murillo on vocals, Dave Jones and Chris Stein on bass, Steve Reed on drums, and myself on cello, and Tony Fate on guitar.
Yeah, Tony from Bellrays. You mentioned stuff about Waco. You gave me a tune called Harpy.
Yeah. So Waco was a band by a guy named Steve Gregoropoulos.
Right. Didn't he play with some people too, I know? Like,
yeah,
Listing Ship or...
Well, he, like, Heather...
That's it, Heather Locke.
I mean, Heather Locke was in Waco, and then Rebecca Lynn.
That's right. Okay.
And Pablo Garcia, Kyle C. Kyle, Justin Burrell. It was, you know, a lot of people in that band, a lot of really talented musicians.
Right.
But yeah, that was you know, Heather was a really big part of Waco.
So on viola. What they needed a cello guy?
Yeah, their other cello player quit, and they needed someone to play cello.
Okay. And are you on this recording, Harpy?
Yeah.
Okay. And where was this done?
At Justin Burrell's house. In Echo Park.
Okay, let's listen.
plastic lemonade.
unit. I'm just a unit, unit. Destruction unit. Why do for you? But must destroy you. Destruction unit. I must destroy you. Get on the road. Get on the road. Get on the road. Get on the road.
Food, shipwrecks, prowlers,
quicksand,
best
continental
drift, faulty merchandise,
labor violence,
terrorism,
flash floods,
discrimination,
torture,
wrongful cremation, carbon deposits,
bad luck,
beef. Tapeworm.
Acid rain.
Escape mania.
Fast blood.
Sunburn.
Torture.
Abandonment.
Moral decay. Hotel fires.
Contamination of the water supply.
Loss of your face.
Nuclear.
nuclear winter.
Stink bombs!
Wayward girls.
Bubonic plague.
Rampaging moose. The greenhouse effect.
Neo-Nazi. Friction!
Disgruntled employees. Global warming. Card sharks. Poison meat.
Structural defects. Race riots. Sunspots.
Taxation without representation. Wayward girls, mutual assured destruction, rampaging moose, the greenhouse effect, cluster headache, social isolation, Dutch elm disease,
sneak attack, peer pressure, vigilante, runaway train, strike bullet,
global warming.
Falling rocks. Cattle stampede.
Poison meat.
The killer bees.
The wrath of God.
Toxic waste.
Loss of equilibrium.
Religious fanatics.
Disgruntled employees.
Prickly heat.
Poison meat.
Price fixing.
Nuclear accidents.
Organ rejection.
Broken promise. Cluster headache.
What? Slavery.
The contraction of the universe.
Random violence.
Threatening letters.
Parasites.
Nuclear winter.
Public ridicule.
Paper cuts.
Faithless friends.
The wrath of God.
Grateful children, mildew,
solitary confinement,
quicksand,
rampaging moose,
body life,
wayward girl,
gridlock,
broken promises,
acid rain,
poison meat,
labor violence,
card shark,
rabies,
global warming,
torture.
Eternal damnation.
Mental fatigue.
The wrath of God and paranoia.
Sneak attacks.
Chemical spills.
Sunspots.
Unworthiness.
Prickly heat.
Intestinal bleeding.
Toxic waste.
defrocked priest.
Killer beam!
Disgruntled employees.
Falling rock!
Card shark.
Anal Grave! Quicksand!
Promises!
Acid Wave!
Contamination of the water supply!
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Harpy from Waco, and after that was Flying Hair out of Dr. Switchblade. I think the drummer of that band lived with Heather Locke.
Yeah.
Roommate.
Someone in that band was the, I'm not sure which one.
Well, no, they came over, they were telling, okay. Yeah, and I had a spiel with them right before they recorded this latest album. Then out of Croatia, Erotic Bilhan and his Heretics with Street Survivor. Kurt Stifle and the Swing Shift, Singing in the Trees. Mailman after that with Parasitic, I'm sorry, with the Y kind of string. Exterminators, a Destruction Unit. Man on bass there is Chris Kirkwood. I got to play a couple gigs with him a couple days ago. And his brother and his nephew. And now Meat Puppets have a keyboard. They're actually a five-piece now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some guy they met in Pennsylvania or something who knows how to play all kinds of stuff, but he was playing a keyboard with them. And Kurt says it's going to, because he wants to record in the next couple months, and this cat's going to be a big part of it, because he's never really played with keyboards. No? So it's a new thing for him, he told me. So look for a new dimension of the Meat Puppets. Then we heard Things to Watch Out For, Halfway to Cleveland, which I should have played earlier in the show, because now knowing historically how it's involved in your music journey. But, you know, fill people in.
So Halfway to Cleveland was like a kind of a experimental jazz band with this guy named Doc Williams that started out in the 1970s. And then my friend Pat Palma joined it in the mid-80s. They were out of Venice. And then I started out videotaping them, and then I ended up joining them. And then originally it was Venice-based, but then the Doc ended up working with George Carlin. He worked for George Carlin. He was like took care of his house. So we would do stuff with George and Brenda Carlin and Kelly Carlin, the daughter, and then that song is actually, the lyrics are from a George Carlin spiel.
And where'd the name come from for the band?
Halfway to Cleveland? I guess it was an old vaudeville term for where are you, like halfway to Cleveland?
Right, that's
like middle nowhere.
That's about right.
Because this guy was around since the...
Sure.
40s. He was born in 1929.
Wow. So that's kind of interesting. You had him in your life, you know, musically.
Yeah, I learned a lot. Like him and then Steve Rigoropoulos after that were...
Did you guys record a lot Halfway to Cleveland?
We did that one record, which was actually at Radio Tokyo, and then I mixed it at USC. That was the only real recording we did, except we recorded a lot of stuff just when we were rehearsing or playing.
Plans for now.
Plans for now. Well, I'm pretty busy doing the Cafe Nella.
You ran Cafe Nella.
That's a good double time job. Basically, since I started doing that, it kind of took over all my time. We've been doing that since 2013, And, yeah, we do like about four shows a week. So it's like about 16 to 20 bands a week. So that keeps me real busy in terms of being able to do other stuff. So just try to keep Cafe going, nail it going as long as it'll go.
Yeah, this is in Cypress Park.
Yeah.
Well, just, it's, again, not too far from downtown L.A. I've had the fortune to get to play there and be part of a lot of shows. And I'm very grateful for you inviting me to be part of that, Dave. So, Carnage, though, recording plans?
We don't have any plans. No. We have that, you know, the last record we recorded, I guess, was in 2014, which we still haven't put out yet. That's where the Dead or Alive.
Oh, that's the
record.
Stuff you gave me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That never came out. Wow.
And
I ended up playing all that stuff you gave me.
Okay.
Great.
But that's from the last thing we recorded. We have a glut of stuff we recorded that we never put out.
Maybe get a Bandcamp page going or something.
Yeah. It just right now it's hard for me. I got so much. Just keeping the Cafe Nail running, sure, that's really hard to do other things.
Well, you know, if somebody just getting into music wanted to ask you for advice, what would you tell them?
Just kind of pursue it, like learn from other people. You know, find your own voice. Just basic like show etiquette stuff, like, you know, get on the stage, get off the stage, promote your shows. Don't backstab people.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, and try and do it as something that's enjoyable. I've always had other kind of jobs when I was doing it. Never really tried to make the money off the music. But if it happens, that's great. But if it doesn't happen, then it's still good to keep playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Really good. And I really enjoy you being on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I've been listening to the Waff and Pedro show for years and years. I always wanted to be on, so finally got on.
Yeah. But, and I go way back, like I said, me and Raymond came to your thing, and you've been a very important part of the scene. And
Well, thanks so much for having me.
It means a lot for me to be your friend. Thanks so much, Dave Travis. People, it's been the December 26, 2017 edition of Waff Pedro Show. Get ready for 2018 and keep your powder dry.